Hey, hello, Candice here. Fantastic to have you join in your Feminine Power Hot Seat group coaching call. And thanks to one of our friends in Australia, we could put this forward as a desire of hers. She wanted to be able to get on these live. So at least at this time of year, it seems that I join you smack on my lunchtime, we call midday in Australia or noon in America. And that gets us at the very end of the evening in most of Europe and very early in the morning in Australia and sort of smack in the middle of the day in America. So it's seeming to work at this time of year at least. So we've got this magical sweet spot in which we can actually all convene together. So it's fantastic to have you all here. So super big welcome to your Feminine Power Hot Seat mentoring call, which is part of your support for the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood program, and also if you're on the Arise in Your Queen, Attract Your King program. So this is your support call. This is for you to get one-on-one coaching from me, and also sometimes just to listen and to be here and present for other people's experiences. And there's so much we learn so much by listening to each other, okay? So as I'm always respectful of your time, and time is truly one of our most precious essence, I do start the calls on time and intend to make this time super valuable for you. The call is being recorded, and after the finish of the call, by the end of the day, I should have that loaded up onto the membership site for you. And there's many years of these coaching calls. So if you want to bust a move there and listen to some additional information, it's up there for you, okay? So let me just, for now, for who's on here, I'm just going to unmute you all. You're all unmuted, so I just want to hear your voices. Say hello, who is with us today?
Hello,
Say hi.
Candice from Prague.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, you're shy. All right, we'll mute you again. Just keep you muted during the call because sometimes if someone has background noise, it affects everyone else's experience. So it's great to feel a few people out there. We've got some shy people. We are at the end of the moon cycle today, so we do tend to become a bit more internal, a bit more quiet at the end of the moon cycle. It's very normal. So as many of the women in the training are not my private clients, this is actually your opportunity to get in-person live hot seat coaching from me as you go through the program. And I have noticed it's an essential part of your success in the program. It's a place to voice your experiences, to share, to come out of hiding, and to open up even more. Okay, so get ready to share your burning questions and be brave enough to share your experiences as we're diving here deeper together. Okay? Cool. So these calls are an integral part of your feminine support and your emergence in the sisterhood. So just a few things to understand about this call and how it will be conducted and how you can get the very most out of them. I am here for you. This is your call. This is your time. This is your time to be seen and heard. Okay? You need to note that there are women at different stages of their relationship to their own feminine emergence. We all enter this path of our feminine power and emergence at different places, right? We all even enter with some strengths that we don't know we have and some blind spots we don't know we have. And so whether it's where you've entered at or that you've been doing this work for longer than others, this is totally fine. I've set up the course and the support so that we keep more advanced students here and we invite brand new students here at the same time. Because we all learn from each other, and we're here to support you when we're a little bit more, you know, experienced with our feminine power and energy, okay? So don't hold back. If you feel like someone's having this blastingly great experience and you're totally challenged, you need to know that part of being in a sisterhood is, it's one big thing I've noticed is if someone's having a really hard time, that doesn't mean you don't hold back your success. This is something we end up doing really conditionally is we hold ourselves back because we think it's not okay to be successful right now because somebody else is suffering. That is something we break open here. And the converse is also true. If someone's doing really well, you don't, you feel like you're going to be a downer by sharing your stuff, that also needs to be broken because there is space for it all here. All of you is welcome in your most glorious shining moments. and when you feel like you've fallen backwards and you're tripping over, okay? Okay, so please ask your questions whether you are newer or more experienced in this work. Everything is welcome. This is a really safe container for your expression. Great, so right now let's turn off any other distractions, close down any other web pages, turn off your cell phone if you're not on your cell phone, shut down your tablets, etc. Because we want to make this part of your out-breath time. We want to make it one thing. One part of this work is to create a focus on your feminine energy where we allow a discrete space and make it part of your out-breath time, okay? So let's start together, as a few more people are joining us, with a little meditation, which is another way to be turning in toward ourselves. So today let's do this by, let's place the hands facing inwards, cupping over your pussy, or just sort of, if you're sitting cross-legged like I am, even though I'm on a chair, I'm always sitting in meditation position. So just put your fingers, your little pinky fingers in the crease of the legs, that part of the hip and legs, and your hands sort of over the belly, over your womb, over your pussy energetically. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to breathe a full length of breath in and out, fully in and up, on top of the head, fully out and down to the base of the body, in and up to the top of the head, and out and down to the base of the body. And this full length of breath, just in doing this right now, you may realize that you're often breathing quite shallow. Something that tends to happen when we end up under duress, under stress, or we find ourselves teetering toward either man mode or into the false feminine. Because all of those stressors as a woman happen because of this habit of operating neck up, operating in the head. And as we're doing this full length of breath, we really breathe into the belly like a bellows, you know, we fill it up like a balloon. Allow ourselves to feel full, be full. Full in our seated power, in our throne as a woman. And this should help you create a bit more silence and stillness and sense of being in yourself. Another way I could say that is being more embodied in the feeling relationship to yourself, which is essential to our feminine power. That we're in an embodied feeling relationship to ourselves. And you'll notice this when I respond to questions sometimes. I'll go, look, until you get down into your feminine power, you're going to be asking me intellectual questions. And that's not going to serve you so well to keep answering. Trying to appease the mind, we're not trying to appease the ordinary middle consciousness. We're trying to get you seated in your power center so that you experience it in yourself. Breathing in and up. And breathing out and down. And breathing in and up to the top of the head. And breathing out and down to the base of the body. And just in this final phase, let's just feel some sensations. And we're going to focus the sensations underneath the hands. So I'll share, just so you know what you're potentially feeling for. So I'm feeling a lot of warmth and fullness and a pulsing energy coming from the front part of my pubic mound, a pulsing that pulses both inwards toward my womb and pussy and upwards into the belly and spreads into the belly. Feels very alive and tingling. Just in yourself recognizing the sensations. This is not emotions, this is sensations. And even if it's very subtle or new to you, just let yourself feel what's there, okay? Something we must dispel in the sisterhood is any comparison you're trying to achieve or have the experience I'm having right now, because it's my experience. Your experience is your experience and is totally valid. It's not better than or worse than, it's just your experience. Two more nice big breaths. Okay, so what I'm going to encourage you to do, and I will redirect you here if you slip out of here when you ask a question, because I'm here to encourage you to be in yourself, okay? So I'm going to encourage you, whatever questions you have, to do it from this sense of groundedness and seating in your belly and your pussy. Okay, fantastic. And we'll come back, opening the eyes. Wonderful. All right. Again, so I'm just going to turn it into the sharing Q&A time. If you're on the phone, I think it's a *6 to raise your hand, and this will let me know you have a question. And when I go, which I'm going to do now, I'm going to go to the Q&A sections. You can actually also put yourself up there if you're on the web portal. There's different ways to be able to raise your hand. Fantastic. We have a question from Fazila. Hello, Fazila. How are you? What is your question today?
Do we get to see anyone, or we don't get to see anyone in this chat?
You can press chat if you'd like to see chat, but otherwise this is an audio call.
Oh, it's just an audio. You don't get to see visual, right? You don't get to see. This past week, I've been very emotional. I've been thinking about the past, and my son had brought up a question to me, what happened in the past when I got the divorce and dad sold, and we had to sell the house. And I start thinking about, you know what, I told him we had a bad marriage. And his dad did some things, like he refinanced a house to pay debt. He kept that from me. And also he made threats to me. And he used to physical discipline them. And you know what, I started crying because I start feeling regret that, you know what, I really liked that house. It was supposed to be for them. This is the first time we had something that belongs to us. We watched it from the ground up. And within 3 years, it was all gone. And I said, you know what? This is all because this is what happened when you have a bad relationship. Because of a bad marriage, everything was gone.
Okay, so Fazila, I'm going to interrupt you, because this call is about supporting the program and your feminine power, and you're talking a lot about other people right now. So thanks for the context. We've got the context now. We appreciate the context. Mm-hmm. What I want to get from you is I want to feel your embodied question that relates to the training, okay? Mm-hmm. I can only help you on those things, okay? This is what I'm here to support you in. Mm-hmm. I can't answer questions about family or divorces or finances, okay? So what is your question? Just a clear one-line question that I can support you with.
I don't know. How do I heal from the past?
And so, again, I'm here to support you about the modules of the Powerfully Feminine Intensive or the Arise in Your Queen program. So is there something of one of the modules or something specific that we can support?
Desire, set in, and getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
So you go through the module again. So I suggest mm-hmm. you go back to the Art of Desire module and mm-hmm. do it again. So I made a video yesterday that I put up on Facebook about the DEAR method. Okay, so you discover the knowledge, then you need to embody the knowledge, and then you need to apply, and then you repeat. And you do it again and again and again until you get it. Okay.
So you have to believe that you can get it, or you believe that you deserve it in order to get it?
No. Belief is about the mind. It's about, as I said, follow the module.
Mm-hmm.
It's about feeling into your desire. It's about knowing yourself through knowing your desire. And all of that's outlined in the module. Belief is about the neck up. Belief is about the head. It's not magic, this stuff. Okay. It's about actual techniques that will help you to get what you want if you follow the training.
So you still have to feel, even if you don't have something, you still have to feel like if you already have it, to get it, and then work on getting it.
Is that a question? Is there a question there?
Yeah. So if even if you don't have something that you want, you have to feel as if you already have it and work on getting it, right, before you can get it.
So it's overly simplified what you're saying, Fazilo. You see, understanding desire is not... See, even though you said the word feeling then, I still heard thinking, okay?
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, you've got to catch yourself, Fazilo, because you end up so much in your head, okay? You want me to be really direct with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't read things, you don't listen to things, and you don't follow instructions. So it's all there in the training. You have to slow down, and I know you're under stress. When we're under stress, we have to slow down, okay? So speeding through the training or having listened to the videos isn't enough, which is why I created that video yesterday, because I realized, see, feminine power isn't about magical thinking. Magical thinking is another form of ideas that just doesn't work. The Powerfully Feminine Intensive are tangible steps, these five core feminine arts that once you learn and once you master, then you can ask me the next question. Then you can go, okay, I've got desire setting. It's working. Now what? I want to go even deeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment you're asking questions like you've just started the training and you've been with me for, what, 9 months now? Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm being strong with you because it's all there. You have lifetime access to it. Go back to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen by magic. No words I say of encouragement or support are going to change. That you have to slow things down a bit. You get very frazzled because you move too fast.
Okay.
For you personally, this is very directed to you. You go too fast. And then you go into your head because you end up very anxious, okay?
Yes.
So the anxiety will change when you start to embody yourself.
Okay.
Part of the embodiment,
my head.
It's all in the training, uh-huh. But also you can't just sit at home and do nothing. You need to do embodiment exercises, move your body, dance, hike, walk, feel your body, okay? Masturbate, do things with your energy, okay? Do the jade egg work, do the microcosmic orbit. These are practices I show you how to do to get embodied, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's all there, honey. It's all there. It's all there.
Yeah.
Just take a breath, slow down, and know that we're here to support you. It's okay, but this is the best advice I can give you right now. Okay?
I have to try to stay out of my head.
Well, even when we say try to stay out of our head, it's like saying try to stop thinking in meditation. Unfortunately, that's engaging your head.
Okay.
So just go back through it. It's all there. It's mm-hmm. all there. It's all there.
Yeah.
And then once you're implementing the information, okay, once you're in the embodiment and application, then we go R in the DEAR method. We report on our experience, and then we rinse and repeat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you already feel calmer. That feels good, sweetheart. So I'm going to move on. There's another question. All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hello, I have AG, Holly Lightly 123. Who's this? Who am I speaking to?
This is Alev.
Oh, Alev, hello.
Hey, so I did the module and the meditation on the microcosmic orbit last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't quite know how. I mean, I'm another person who kind of sometimes gets a little in their head about all this energetic stuff, especially. So my experience was that, first off, going behind seems to be easier than the front. I don't know what that says about my feminine and masculine, but my experience is like it fluctuates in terms of the flow, like it can be really, really slow, and it feels a bit more easier as it's slowing to kind of feel a presencing somewhere, and then sometimes it feels really fast, it just kind of flips, and just flips above with the breath and down quickly with the breath. So it's a bit mixed, and when you talk about the orbit itself, like kind of this ovular shape, I'm just curious, like, but then you also speak specifically about like the back and the front, up and down, down to like from crown down to your perineum and whatnot. It makes me wonder what those flows, you know, what the ovular shape is, is it a line? I don't know. I don't know what my question is. It's just having this kind of mixed experience, and I'm kind of curious if you could say more about it.
Cool. So there's quite a lot of questions there. And just for some context for others on the call, Alev is quite an advanced meditation and energetic practitioner. So this is quite an advanced question. And so the first thing I just want to address is I'm hearing about the pace of the rotation. And sometimes it's faster and sometimes it's slower. And what I'd encourage you to do is to just, with anything with our energy body, we want to just be with what's happening in the moment. So today it might be sluggish in one part and it may be fine tomorrow. So we don't want to view feminine energy experiences as some sort of linear graph that we're climbing the stairs to make stronger, and then suddenly the whole thing's going to be whizzing around like a Ferrari at some stage. It's more that the microcosmic orbit is a way to turn on the ignition and rotate the motor, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes the motor's kind of idling, and sometimes we're accelerating a bit more, okay? So we just think of it like that. We think of it like an engine that we're wanting to engage and observe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then another question I heard you ask was something in the order of, well, where is the line? And it's
can
not...
Can I clarify on one thing before you get into that?
Please,
on
yeah.
A line thing? I guess what I feel is sometimes it feels kind of this more ovular thing, and sometimes it feels like going up and down kind of like a central channel.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious about the actual practice.
Yeah, so again, because you're trained in the meditation style I am, if you end up in the thunder wand, it's a different practice and it's not life flow, okay?
Okay.
Just to be clear. So the microcosmic orbit is something more circular, yeah? And it is a bit more like stroking this. It's like sort of feeling this ovular shape that's more, it's just more round. It's the only way I can say it. So there's something of catching. It's like catching a different part of the etheric body, okay? It's catching a different flow up the outside of the back. Sometimes it's closer, sometimes it's further away. I know how you feel about that. And then sometimes the front goes more like down the chest. Sometimes it's a bit wider, so a bit more circular, right? So take it on the line of exploration, because mm-hmm. the thing is about the microcosmic orbit is it's a very ancient art, and view it more like a discovery of this circular motion around, in that way, around the body, okay, from the front to the back to the front, in a way, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
And that second question, whether it's a line, it's not really a line. Yes, we're kind of, our awareness is a bit central, as in our awareness is sort of up the line of the back and down the line of the front of the body. But it's, you need to let that be a little bit fluid, and this is not about precision. This particular practice is about flows of energy. Yeah? We are playing with the etheric body here. We're playing with etheric flows. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there another question in there?
No, I think that was it. I was I'm curious about the what I was experiencing as kind of like central channel flows versus this kind of circular flow that mm-hmm. you were talking about. Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. And so report back. I'd be really curious to see if you can, because you're so used to using things in the central channel that this is different, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
And yet it really, if you really get that going, it really feels like an engine revving when you start to be able to do that. Like I'm now, because we're talking about it, I'm doing the flows, right? So this is one of those things, as I said in the training, you don't have to be sitting in meditation to do. Once you get that ability to ignite the engine, you can do it anywhere, right? Which is very cool, yeah. Good. Thanks, Alev. Thank you for sharing and asking your question. Cool. So we have nobody in the queue. And whilst I'm waiting for anybody else to put their hand up, I just want to direct you to, yesterday I created a video on this DEAR method, the D-E-A-R method that I put up in the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood group. And I also got another question from somebody today. Can I put those elsewhere? The thing is, these are Facebook Lives. They're on Facebook. I have, 50 additional videos up there, little snippets of information that I do there and remain there. So, and so therefore. But basically, the DEAR method is a method to learn with your feminine from your feminine. Okay? Because what I realized is, because we're all grappling with being so accustomed to operating and learning from our head, okay, head mode, man mode, we could loosely make a commensurate there. I realize that there's a piece that's missing in how we learn in feminine, which is this embodiment and application piece. Okay, so application we could say we do when we learn from the masculine, but the embodiment piece is important. So D in the DEAR method is discovery, which is when we're learning, going to the modules, listening to the trainings, doing the PDFs and the exercises. E is embodiment, right? It's the embodiment when you're embodying the work through your own experience. Yep. A is the application of the five core feminine arts into your life, which means all of your interactions. It's not like, okay, now I go into the feminine, now I'm not. There is no reason. I have some of my most successful students are big corporate divas, they're my corporate divas that are applying their feminine power inside of the corporate environment. Something that, of course, I haven't been corporate for 20 odd years. I was waiting to see if it was possible, and these women have proved that it is. So whether you're applying it to your work environment, to relationship dynamics, to dating, or to just interactions with people, that's how you apply the knowledge. You have to do something with it. Listening to it is not going to magically transform you into feminine power. And the R of the DEAR method is report, rinse, and repeat, right? So it really means repeat those steps again and again. Sometimes you want to go through the modules again, or sometimes you're just wanting to go through the embodiment and application again and again. Okay? This is how you reboot from man OS or the masculine operating system into a more feminine operating system. Okay, it's something that is going to become more normal to you the more you embody it and apply it and repeat. Okay, the R is also about report, which is what I suggest you do in the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood group, because, you know, these calls and that forum, unless you're my private client, it's the only way I know how you're doing. It's the only way I can give you feedback and support, okay? So I want to be able to do that. Hello, I have a wireless number, 425-269. Who am I speaking to?
That's me. It's Erica.
Erica, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, great. Welcome. How can I help you?
Good. I have a question about, I guess, feminine sexuality in general. Mm. I just want to hear your thoughts on the sacredness of it and also sort of guidance on when to share versus, you know, following your desire as compared to, I guess, societal ideals of what a woman should be in regard to her sexuality.
Fantastic question. And I could talk about this ad nauseum, just so you know, because there's so many misnomers about feminine sexuality. So firstly, I literally last Sunday just put a video up on YouTube about this. I don't know if you got to see it. And I have a whole section on feminine sexuality in my YouTube channel, okay? So there's pieces there that could add to what we talk about today and what you learn in the training, okay? So one of the things that we need to, or we start to own when we start to own our feminine power, is your unique sexuality. And even saying feminine sexuality sounds a little bit too general, right? As in, at the end of the day, you want to be discovering your type of sexuality, what you need, how you express yourself, your discovery, right? Talk about embodiment and application. That is something you really need to be doing at the sexual level, right? And I'm just talking to you assuming you would have a partner with which to do this, okay? Because it's different with masturbation and self, you know, self-pleasuring, etc. It's great, but it's different, okay? It's much, much deeper. We can go so deep when we have a partner that's wanting to go there with us, okay? So one of the things I always talk about is the fact that sexuality is 9/10 the feminine. Okay, that should be a big mind explosion, just that concept, that when we're starting to engage sexually, and this is why I have this big emphasis on your pussy and your energy and loving your sexuality, because this is your feminine power. This is what you get plugged into. This is your power source. This is your feminine energy right here, okay? It's inside you. And the discovery, like if you don't have a partner, could be self-pleasuring and getting to know yourself sexually and what you like sexually. And if you have a partner who is willing to discover that with you, like, wow, you know, I've got this sense that I'm scratching the surface of my sexuality and my sexual experience, would you be willing to discover that with me and my needs around sexuality? Because I get a sense there's a lot more for me and hence for us. And this is important, the me, hence us, because when a woman is really sexually awakened, boy, does she give to her partner. It's a huge experience for her partner, okay? Just sexually, when you're sexually awakened, you actually give a lot energetically to the partner. And you see, the thing is, partner, men, you know, I'm assuming I'm just talking heterosexual here, but it could be a woman too, but men are so turned on by our turn on. And so that's a positive cycle there. When we're turned on and we know what turns us on, and that's not like, okay, now I've got a list of what turns me on. I've written it down. It's slapped up on the wall. No, it's like in that moment, what turns you on? And if there's one thing about feminine sexuality you need to realize is it changes all of the time. It deepens. In this second, I want this. No, I'm wanting this now. No, this is happening. Whoa, I've just hit another level of depth. Whoa, I've just hit another level of depth, right? And maybe I need to do some supplemental work on this piece because it's so important to start to recognize the thresholds of depths of sexual experience. And the reason I keep saying the word depth, depth, is the feminine sexuality is all about mining. It's about mining for deeper and deeper experiences. It's not about wanting to have quick orgasms. That's more the nature of masculine sexuality, that it's a straight line up and then it peaks very fast and it falls off very fast. And when you start to master sexuality as a woman, you actually learn how to, this might sound strange, but you can feel climax coming. And instead of just going to a shorter peak or a lesser intensity of orgasm, you do a little curve and you go down again. You go down again, you go deeper, and you mine even deeper for even richer, deeper, broader sexuality. You kind of bring back up. I always say it's like mining for diamonds and bring back up. And you could do this dozens of times in a sexual interaction. And by the time you do actually come, it's a huge experience, literally mind-blowing for you and your partner. But that takes somebody that's willing to, patience is the wrong word. It's not about patience, it's about wanting to go really deep and rich and far with you sexually. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is what I call the feminine sexual arc. I talk about it inside of the training. And I do have a whole, I do have a live thing where I was teaching an intensive. I have something up there on that on YouTube too. But the thing is, it's about self-discovery at the end of the day, because the last thing I want to do is diminish feminine sexuality into just being one thing either. We are different beasts, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Hopefully that was a bit evocative and pointed you in a good direction. Are there any other questions from that?
That was helpful. It was. And it sounds to me that you're hinting at continuing to follow your desire. I guess my question also relates to the masculine, and you know, I don't know how to phrase this, but. Is a man who may view you as less valuable because you choose to engage with them sexually sooner on in a relationship, is that a man showing up in his king and someone that you can, you know, trust to be patient with you in that process? Or is that something, it's hard for me to ask that question.
I'm not quite sure of the question. If you can just it's a great. I'm getting a sense it's a really good question, but just try to find just a question with a sentence with a question mark at the end, so I can help you.
Mm-hmm. I guess does it low? I guess I'm wondering if it lowers if you follow your desire, and that's sooner than okay. What society expects. Mm. Does that, I mean, I don't think it lowers your desire, but I guess that's my question.
I think I'm getting your value. So yeah. I'm going to see if I can repeat what I think. I just got the question. So if you're a woman that's got a lot of desire, okay, sexual desire, and you're dating somebody, there's a couple of questions, but is it a good idea for you to engage that sexuality sooner or later? Yeah. So I'm going to answer that line of question first, okay? So I am a woman that has, you know, has a lot of desire, right? And if I'm attracted to somebody, that starts to really grow, right? And yet then we have this thing where who cares about societal expectations? Let's drop that piece because who cares? But what you want to do is value your sexuality, right? And we do have a bit of a thing often where if a man is, because the thing is if he's attracted to you and you're attracted to him, there's sexual flows that are actually already happening. It's basically already sexual exchange going on. There just hasn't been genital contact. Okay? So let's be clear that once you're turned on and he's turned on, there's already sexual flows. And by the way, things like the microcosmic orbit get you sensitive to that. You can start to feel sexual flows being exchanged between you. And that's great, right? And then, look, you need to make decisions about that, because the problem is when, and we're talking about something very specific about masculine feminine dynamics in dating now, okay? So the thing about the masculine is the masculine plays for points. They're trying to win something. It's just the nature of the masculine. And we're going to assume this is a very masculine man. And they actually love playing for points. They love doing things that engages them, that they find a challenge to win. Yeah? They love winning. They love playing for points. Think of every single game that was created around men. They were always trying to get the ball in the goal or through the hoop or something. And the whole thing is just feels really good from the testosterone and masculine piece, okay? And so if we were playing the game with them and we just hand them the ball and they don't have to win it from us, it kind of kills something in the masculine. So I'm sharing this piece because we have to be watching for, and I don't want to sound like a game or a mental game with men. It's not what I'm talking about. It's in understanding the masculine. When you are really standing in your value, and he's clearly attracted to you and he knows that you're a sexual woman and he would love to have sex with you, but you're not having sex with him quite yet. And you're going, look, I'm dating a few other people. I'm not sure yet about where I want to go, and I just don't want to give that away to anybody. I want that to be shared with somebody who's, you know, we've decided to engage in relationship with. Mm-hmm. Can you see how that creates a certain, firstly, your bar is set super high for yourself, not even for him. For yourself, right? So there's that piece. Now, secondly, back to you and your relationship to your desire, and this is really important for everybody to hear. Desire, once you know what it is that you desire and that you feel your desire, is not about instant gratification. Instant gratification is not what desire work is about. Desire work is about you understanding the power and intensity of your desire, and that power and intensity is part of the fuel that helps you get what you want, whether it is sex or something else. So what do I mean by that? Just say you're really turned on. You're in a situation, you're really turned on. It would be really easy just to fall into bed with him. Sometimes it's better to go, I need to be able to feel my desire in myself, love my desire, and not need it just to be gratified, just because it would be easy. I'm not just going to spill my desire on anybody just because I'm horny, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing about the work on desire that takes a bit to understand. Desire is a force. It's life force. It's energy, it's power, and it's powerful, and you need to be able to feel your desire and love it. And sometimes it feels sexual, right? It's like, wow, feel all that sexual energy, isn't that amazing? But I don't just fall into bed with somebody just because I'm feeling sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
And see, in painting that context, then you get to make a decision. You get to make a decision. You understand men. You understand that it's good for them to win you. It's good. That positions you in a way that's very satisfying for them, even though almost any man I know, of course they're going to love having sex with you. You're going to say yes. They're not going to say no most of the time. Mm. But I can promise you that they will. It's not about respect. They're going to see you differently if you have you hold that as an important and precious part of you that you're not going to give away to anybody. And it is, by the way. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions on that?
No. Yeah, it's just, it seems like it's a fine line to walk between the two. And I think I'll just have to sit and kind of think of, you know, what that cost is for me to share that with somebody.
That's a great response. And thinking about it in advance, like you're talking about, is a really good idea, right? Because in the heat of the moment, if you haven't thought about it, you may just fall into, oh, look, this just feels too good. But if you realize, wow, I really like this person, and you see, the thing is, just another example, and this is just things for you to consider. If you go, I'm not jumping into bed with you right now, I know I'm turned on and you're turned on, and you can make it light, you can laugh and say, you know, it's very, you know, you know, it'd be easy for us to do that right now. I'm not ready to. And I am dating other people, which I am also not sleeping with, which is not, they don't need to know that piece of information. But one of two things happens in that situation. The guy goes, ugh, I can't be bothered waiting for this person. And he reveals his true nature, right? Or if he really is into you and wants you, he will wait as long as you need to. Trust me, true masculine men, kings, will respect you and respect your needs and desires there, okay? And by the way, it's totally fine to talk about sex and stuff beforehand if you can handle that getting hot without you falling into bed with them. It's quite good to get a sense of how people react to things like that. And don't do it when you're sitting 10 feet from your bedroom, though, I would suggest.
Good point. Yeah, thank you. That was very helpful.
Do it out.
And clarifying, yeah.
Well, right now we do it over Zoom, so that's pretty safe.
Yeah, that's true.
Great question. Thank you so much for asking.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. We have another question here. And it looks like Rochelle. Rochelle.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. Okay, so I loved what you just said there to the other caller. So I have a follow-up question about it, about desires, and in general, giving in to your desires, because I've just finished the, well, actually, I haven't completely finished the desire module, but I've written down a whole bunch of things that, you know, I desire. And you mentioned there about not giving in to your desires being part of, kind of the feminine way.
So, not quite. Let me just interject for a sec. I said
okay.
Desire is not about instant gratification, and that's
right.
A different thing. Just
I think
repeat,
that's what I was confused about there.
yes. You see, there's lots of words that have been really misused in the world. Things like desire end up meaning instant gratification. Things like vulnerability end up meaning weak, which it's not, right? So some of the work I'm doing with you when I use these words, like when I came up with the five core feminine arts, we need to reframe our relationship to them. The word pussy, we need to reframe our relationship to the word and its power, you see? So what I'm doing here is reframing your understanding of what desire is, and that that's noisy. And that
sorry,
there's
some words outside.
No worries. And that desire is not intellectual. It's not what I think I want and desire. It's what do I feel I want, right?
Yeah.
So when you start to get into the real feeling level and you start to get honest with yourself and you peel away the layers of conditioning and you start going, Jesus, I hate my job. I have been in this conditioned level of relationship to this work I'm doing. It's not me. That takes a lot of courage, right, to really see the truth in yourself and really feel into what you want, right? In general, and if we're talking about sexual desires, so let's go there again. The thing about when we awaken desire in general is we start to awaken our life force and our pussy and our feminine energy. Okay. And the thing is, the truth is, against what we thought previously the feminine was, it's extremely powerful. It's extremely intense. right? And so when you get tapped into the real thing, and as I was talking before, when we get tapped into those deep levels of mining your sexuality, we're talking about intense levels of energy that you learn to be able to be with without needing to just, in that example, oh, I just need to have an orgasm. Like when people talk about release, it's like, ah, that's so masculine. That concept of release sexually is masculine. When we climax, it's because we've gone deeper and deeper and we want to have a big expression of our sexuality, a big experience, a deep experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think behind your questioning here a bit, Rochelle, is, you see, sometimes I've noticed when a woman starts to awaken to her desire and her sexuality, she kind of goes, whoa, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
That's really intense. And you find yourself faced with, wow, what I thought was weak is full on powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's an energetic thing. It's a movement. It's these big feelings, these big forces moving inside you and through you, right? Very different than the mind, isn't it? It's very different than how we go around the world being very directional and thinking, okay?
Mm.
And so these are about forces that one day can be really strong and one day can not be as strong, yeah? It's think more like you start to ride a wild horse. You need to think about your sexuality like a wild horse that often doesn't want you to put a halter on it. It doesn't want to be reined. It wants to do what it wants.
Right.
At the same time, you are a thinking human being, and in the line of the last line of questioning, when you start to feel these big energies, it doesn't mean that you need to just fall into them or succumb to them. You can go, I am master of these energies, and I'm going to move them when I need to and withhold them when I want to withhold them. You have the right to withhold them.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Now, this being said, you know, some women who do this work need to have a phase of just going and having a lot of sex with a lot of people. If they're at a phase doing that, that's great. If they need to awaken their sexuality by having a lot of sexual experiences, then they need to do what they need to do. Okay? So this is not trying to tell you how to or how not to use your sexuality. It's about where are you at in your own discovery of your sexuality. Some women just want to be in phases of self-pleasure and self-discovery of their sexuality and their energy. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
Does that mean, in terms of going after what we desire, we should be more focused on the experience of that rather than the goal itself? I know I shouldn't say goal, but you get what I mean?
Yes. So we talk about desire setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's not about not going after it. It's about staying present with it and feeling into it in your body. Yeah? It's
right.
About embodying the feeling of what you want to feel when you get to the goal, okay? That's the main tenet of desire setting, okay? That you're always staying in relationship to the feeling you want to have when you get to the goal. I'll give you an example. Just so many times I was a very successful corporate and I was successful in lots of things, you know, as a youngish woman, 20s and 30s. And I kept wondering why when I'd get to the goal, okay, which I'd set very masculine and I'd followed and I'd burnt myself out to get to,
yeah.
I'd get to that pinnacle of achievement, right? And mm-hmm. someone, even people would, you know, applaud me or thank me or whatever, and I would feel empty.
Yeah, me too.
I would feel completely empty. And I just, after I'd done it a dozen times, I'd go, what is the point of this? And I didn't have the context of masculine and feminine, by the way, at the time. And so when I started the research on the feminine work and applying it to myself, I realized I was so out of touch with why I wanted the goal, as in what I wanted to feel at that point, I was not in any feeling relationship to it. And by the way, you want to stay in a feeling relationship to it, because then you're also plugged in to your power. So the contrary, again, my story, all I was doing was squeezing myself, depleting myself, like getting burnt out. So I was squeezing my way to these goals. I was forcing myself to this pinnacle, right? That is no way to be doing that. And especially when you talk about big long-term goals, that's just, what's the point of spending months, potentially years, on a major project and just not enjoying any of it, right?
Yeah.
So when we stay in relationship to it through desire setting, we're actually, it's like enjoying the path in a very sort of loose, simple way. But it's more than that. We're not enjoying it from our head satisfied. We're feeling that whilst we're doing this, and I have to catch myself still all of the time, I'm doing some major projects at the moment in my business. And they're big, and it's almost like, wow, they're growing at the moment. There's a lot of things I have to get done. And, you know, in the last couple of days I've been going, if I do not enjoy it, stop, walk away, go for a walk. You've just got to, I've got to enjoy it. I do love that stuff. So if I start to get into a squeezing, a pushing, it's like I slowly start to separate myself from the experience that I can have. So another way of saying this, Rochelle, is, you know that concept that it's not even what you do, it's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about desire setting, we're talking about the how, that what if I danced my whole way to get to achieve, like I'm rebuilding my websites at the moment. It's a big project. And what if I was just constantly sexy dance breaking and really feeling inspired and enjoying every moment of it, feeling rich and juicy, playing music every so often, and I was constantly loving. So by the time I'd actually achieved it, the whole thing would feel like this full expression of myself. Not that I just squeezed myself empty until I actually achieved the quote goal.
Right.
That's what that means.
Makes sense. Thank you so much. That's really helpful. It makes more sense to me now.
Fantastic. Great question. Wonderful. Okay. Well, it looks like we might be getting near the end of our time today. And fantastic questions today, ladies. Really, really great. Really rich. Oh, we have one more question here from Australia. I can see the 61 number. Who am I talking to?
Ahoy, it's Kath Crane.
Hey, ahoy.
How are you going?
How are you? Great, Kath. Wonderful to meet you.
Yeah. Bye, voice. I suppose I've just been listening to the other questions, and it may not be relevant, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, when we listen to the, you know, you've been talking about desire, sort of started with a couple of people ago. So how does the divine part of us, when we're looking about, you know, and I haven't worked through all the modules yet, but I just in a short answer, if you can just give us the quick, you know, beginner answer.
No worries.
You know, when we're connected to the divine part of us, you know, when we do the setting, you know, like I just love to answer there, it's not what we do, it's how we do it, you know, so it's being really connected to that deeper part of us, you know. But I think one of the things is I'm getting all cry now, but knowing the difference between what's ours and what's being asked of us on a bigger level.
Beautiful question, Kath. Yeah, and thank you for being so open and feeling in the way you've asked your question. That's wonderful. Wonderful to have you here. I'm just going to hold you for a few minutes, a few seconds, and just everybody just feeling Kath and holding her whilst we're still here together. It's a really, really good question, and it's such a complex question in line of, it would be like asking what's personal desire and what's divine desire, okay? And if we're spiritual people, what we're wanting ultimately is to really be a conduit for divine will, right? Divine wanting, yeah? And yet this is a really big part of my spiritual training, for example. You see, we can't skip the step. We can't not understand our own desire and expect that we're really going to be able to serve the divine's desires, divine desire, divine will. And you see, through the process of discovering our desire and engaging it and being with our own desire and getting in touch with that fuel I talk about, you know, plugging in, turning on, filling up. Once we know that energy, like I've been talking about a lot of great questions on desire today, once we really know that energy and we get some of the things that we, that cast desires, right, then you're in a realistic position to be able to really be able to serve the will of the divine. There's a engagement of divine energy that starts to land on and engage with that big force inside you that for most women remains quite hidden and buried whilst they don't know their desire and they don't engage their desire. So we do that first. It's a really important stage. And it's not necessarily you do this first and then you can engage divine will. It's obviously a little bit more mysterious than that. But really, really important. And you need to realize too that when we're incarnated and we're human, we have things that we do want and need. And the divine is also really behind that. The divine really wants us to get what we need, wants us to thrive and be nourished and be loved and be supported. And so they're very real things. It's good, it's okay for you to have those needs, right? And those wants, and to understand them at a deep level. Not just understand from the mind, but understand, embody, apply and get. Make sense, Kath?
Yeah, no, that's been a great great way of explaining it. Yeah, no, I just was, it was just, you know, listening to the other lady, women speak, you know, and I was just thinking, oh, this is, it's really interesting, you know, but it's, I was thinking, I often stuck in that, I always often think it's a fine line, and often, I know on some of your YouTube clips, you talk about, you know, the higher self and the lower self. That's not the exact terminology used, but like that's sort of,
oh, the true feminine and the false feminine?
Yeah, you know, and it's sort of like a higher and a lower. And, and you know, I often think, you know, and when you, you know, if you were to take that across our life in different ways, you know, then you think it's like our, you know, desires coming from different places as well, you know. And I suppose sometimes when you're just driving or something like that, you know, you sort of start to ponder about, well, where's that coming from, you know, and... different things like that, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just that having the wherewithal to ask the question internally, like, whoa, is that really my desire or is that something else coming through me, whether it's conditioning or whether it's forces of nature, like the pulls to have babies and to have sex and want the man to inseminate you. And that's a whole other level of conversation. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and hearing everybody today. Yeah.
And thanks for being here so early, Kath. I'm so happy that this time is working for the Australians at the moment.
Yeah, no, and I just I was muted there before, but when the kookaburras were doing their morning call, and I thought I would have loved that, but I was muted.
I love the cookies when they do that. It's the only thing I miss is the kookaburra voices. Ah, for those who haven't visited Australia, there is nothing like Australian bird song. It's just phenomenal. It's loud as heck. It's so loud.
Especially morning, yeah.
Beautiful, Kath. So great to have met you by voice and to have you on today. Okay, lovely. Thank you so much for your attention today. It's been beautiful. I'm going to unmute you all so we can say goodbye. We're unmuted. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Candice.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you,
Candice. Beautiful, everybody. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. See you back on the page.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.